Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016. And with me today, much to my surprise, Brian Chaffin. How are you?
I am here.
Yes, you are. And I was not expecting that. I'll tell people why in a minute. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am well. Well, I'm doing better. I couldn't hold a straight face with that. But my voice is much better today than it was yesterday or the day before. So, you know, we're moving in the right direction here.
Yeah, you are sounding better, and that's awesome. So I'm glad you're on the mend.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Bushel, the people that are making the really awesome device management tools. Makes your life so much easier to keep all of your iPhones and iPads and Macs under control. I'll talk about them in a bit. But before we do that, Brian, the reason I'm excited you're here is also the reason why I'm glad you're here. No, I'm surprised you're here and glad you're here. There we go. And it's because the hearing that was scheduled for today, where Apple and the FBI were going to present their cases as to why Apple, from Apple's perspective, shouldn't have to unlock or provide the tools to the FBI to unlock an iPhone. And the FBI was going to present its case as to why exactly that should happen. But yesterday, the FBI dropped a surprise on everyone and asked to have the hearing canceled.
Yeah, they did, as I was packing up my car to drive to SoCal. And while I also assumed there were probably journos in the air headed towards SoCal, who were probably surprised to find when they landed that they ain't got nothing to go to.
Yeah. And I bet there was more than a few that drove from the Apple event yesterday in your neck of the woods there and headed down. Probably got there before they made the announcement. So,
nope.
Well,
not possible.
No. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Distance and time being what it is. Yeah.
It's 6.5 hours plus traffic.
Got it. Yeah. That takes. Yeah. Well, there you go.
That's anyway, a commitment.
But still. Yeah.
So the FBI requested that the hearing be vacated, which is legal speak for canceled. And the reason why they said that they were doing so was because an unspecified and unnamed third party NSA, I got a cough too, had stepped forward with a method of unlocking the iPhone that did not require Apple's help.
I'd like to address your coffinthetical there. because, well, it's interesting, right? The way they worded it, they had two statements that I think they intended people to relate, but were not clearly related. They said, since we've done this, you know, since we've made this public, we've not stopped our efforts, and but essentially what they said is they've heard from many third parties interested in helping out.
Outside the government.
That's right. Yes. Non-governmental parties. Then they said, we have one party that says they can crack this thing. But they never said that this is an outside third party. They just said it was not the FBI.
Yeah, they said it was an outside party right after referring to outside parties outside the government. This time around, they did not say outside the government.
Oh, so right. They left the outside the government clause out of that, which, again, if you're just casually reading through, it's like, oh, it must be John McAfee or something, right? You know, that's going to crack this thing for him. Awesome. But really, it's the NSA. And my feeling, and I know Mr. Chaffin disagrees with me, and I love that, the fact that you do, because you might be right. But I firmly believe that the NSA had cracked this thing long, long ago. And this whole case had nothing to do with this phone. It was more about, hey, we have an opportunity to set the precedent that we want, so in the future we can twist the arms of companies like Apple to do what we need to in the name of public interest.
You know, and, Director Comey is not going to lie on. He's not going to lie in a congressional hearing. And he, you know, he said, okay. That, he said that they didn't. And it just seems, so much more ham-fisted and brute force that they didn't go to the NSA because they didn't want it opened.
Oh, for the same reason, just a slightly different sequence of events, right?
Correct.
Yeah. 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 I mean, right. So I think it sounds like we agree wholeheartedly on the fact that the reason they made this request in public, they've made countless requests to Apple in private, and Apple pointed that out, right? This one they made in public because they wanted to set precedent. But I still think the NSA has cracked this thing. I think they're being disingenuous about the whole thing. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay feeling that way. I'm not okay with it.
This whole phone, this whole particular case has been such a perfect storm for the FBI to try to do what it wants to do.
Yep.
Which is, you know, to get it established that the All Writs Act can be used to compel a company like Apple and other companies to essentially do whatever it is the FBI needs to get into any device.
Yep.
No. And I don't think that they ever... I don't think that they care what's on the phone because they know that there's nothing on it, that's the reason why I think that they didn't go to the NSA.
Okay. See, you make a valid argument there.
Now, I'm wondering if the NSA came to the FBI and said, look, we're going to unlock this for you so that you shut up about this thing right now because we've looked at your case and it's not going to hold up. And the precedent you're going to set is not the one you want. So back down now, we'll unlock your phone for you and pick a different case later.
Well, I think the FBI could have kept it quiet. It would have been disingenuous and illegal, but they could have kept it quiet if in fact that happened, right, and still run forward with the case or with the hearing today. But I think, like you just said, Jeff, they knew they weren't going to win this one. And they certainly didn't want that to happen.
Yeah, they've made such a botch of the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know what a legal expert I am. I am not, but reading
on a podcast,
I do. Yeah, frequently. The reading through the filings from the FBI and Apple, it just seems like Apple's trouncing the FBI. Who knows exactly how accurate all this stuff is, and who knows how the judge is going to interpret this stuff. But I felt like the FBI was going to lose, and they knew it. And they did that. If there's a precedent set, that's not the one they want set.
Well, right. Here's the thing: the FBI chose to play this out in public, in part because the public is going to need to weigh in on this, right? In some way, shape, or form. The idea here is to cement the public's either interpretation of the All Writs Act or come up with some new legislation that everybody buys into. So this had to play out this way. But and your point is, you said Apple's trouncing the FBI here. I mean, the FBI chose to play the PR game against the biggest and best player in PR we've ever seen in our lives.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, our opinion, and I'm saying this specifically as not as lawyers, although I have a fond regard for the law and I like to read the law, but I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know all the nuances, and that's the point. Most of the public doesn't. And so, of course, we feel like Apple is trouncing the FBI in this because they're way better at the PR game than the FBI ever could hope to be.
Well,
now,
Dave,
whether or not that would have translated in court, I mean, I think it would have, but what does that mean?
I don't know.
You know, I bought into the PR game.
Dave, I'm going to throw out something that I think backs up your hypothesis. And mm-hmm. It's a fact that the FBI at the last minute asked the judge to change the hearing to an evidentiary hearing, so they could then question Apple's own witnesses. And I don't have anything specific to back this up, but my hunch is that the FBI wanted to do that because they weren't confident in their case, And they were hoping that if they put Apple's people on the stand, that they could tear apart their testimonies and sway the court in their favor.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Let's make this about the law and not anything else. Yep.
I don't see that happening either.
Oh, no, I don't either. And I think they agree with you, Brian, hence asking the judge, hey, you mind putting that one off for a little while?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So now the FBI has until April 5th to respond back to the court with whatever it is that they find or.
With an update.
That's with an update hearing.
They're supposed to let the court know what's what.
Right. So if this plays out the way it kind of looks like it might, come the 5th, the FBI may very well say, you know what, we've got this. And then that ends this part of the encryption fight.
For now.
For now, yes.
And they'll probably this feels like a capitulation to me, and it feels like the FBI may be content to allow the legislative process to work its course.
Right. And we know that there are bills that are bouncing around. There's a new draft that just showed up today, a bipartisan draft. And
We say bipartisan. It's Dianne Feinstein. And who's the Republican?
Oh, I just forgot. Richard Burr.
My point is that Dianne Feinstein is just like she's always on the wrong side of this stuff. So yeah, it's a bipartisan bill, but it's a bipartisan bill from at least on the pseudo left, a party that is just consistently on the wrong side of privacy and encryption.
That's a really good point. So technically speaking, I'm right. Practically speaking, you're right. We both get trophies.
Yay! Hey. Participation.
Can I get a participation award too?
Yes. Yes, Dave, you can.
You were here, weren't you?
Yeah. All right. So now we're kind of on hold waiting to see what the FBI says. So, I guess we just wait and see there. There's something else that I want to hit into before we wrap up today. But before we do that, we have a sponsor. And that sponsor is Bushel. And Bushel is pretty awesome because what Bushel does is it lets you take all of your iPhones and your iPads and your iPod Touches and your Macs, and you can set up all the configurations that you need for all your devices, manage them from a single location, and then push all the settings out just whenever you need to. You can also track how many devices you have. You can track information about those devices. If something gets lost or stolen, you can brick the thing just right from their interface. And it's really great because this is a tool that's easy for the average person to use. It doesn't require that you're part of some IT team, and it doesn't require that you buy expensive software. I mean, you can sign up 3 devices for free, and then additional devices, $2 a device. And I mentioned yesterday how I use this to fix my dad's email settings on his iPhone for him when he calls me and says, I didn't do anything, but my email stopped working. And I push his correct settings back out to him, and everything starts working again. And so we have our understanding. I fix his iPhone, and I don't ask what he really did, and he gets his email. And all is well with the family. So in a manner of speaking, this is a family-saving device. But it's also great if you have a business where you just don't have the budget for Apple's mobile device management platform. And it's so easy to use. So what you need to do is go sign up and start managing your devices, because it's actually really cool. Even if you only have a couple things, just being able to push out settings all at once is pretty awesome. So here's what you do. Go to their website, bushel.com/TDO, and sign up. 3 devices for free, $2 per month for additional devices. You're not committed to any time frames, so you can add and remove stuff just whenever you like. And it's so easy to use, and they have great step-by-step instructions to get you up and running. go check it out. Bushel.com/TDO. And thank you, Bushel, for being our sponsor. Okay. So the other thing that I want to talk about today, it's actually kind of some follow-up. We got some listener comments to yesterday's show where we were talking about Apple's Let Us Loop You In Media event. And it became a fight between Brian and John about naming, product naming. And Brian, I guess we have to put you on the spot because these comments are directed towards you.
Well, the two comments that I particularly noted, actually, I didn't look on Twitter. Was it on Twitter?
Hold on. Let's double check.
Go with the comments that you've got here, Brian.
Yeah. Fair enough. I was stalling for time, but fair enough. All right. So we had Jerry wrote into me personally saying, have to express my opinion. Hey, Brian, I have to express my opinion. I think the iPad name just got easier. Rather than more complex. Go into the store, ask for a Pro and tell them what size screen you want. Same with the MacBook Air. Go into the store and ask for an 11 or 13 inch screen. There are only three names associated now, Pro, Air, and Mini. I'm laughing at everyone freaking out about the name. I find it simple, right in line with the rest of the product line. David Schwab wrote into observations@observer.com for comments about this here show. And he said, regarding the name, Brian, you are wrong. Bang. How many MacBook Pros do we have? Two. What's the difference? Screen size. What's the difference between MacBook and MacBook Pro? Now, what's the difference between the iPad and iPad Pro? Lots of stuff. CPU, RAM, pin, support, screen resolution. So this is a smaller version of the iPad Pro, just as you can get a smaller version of the MacBook Pro. And it's not a MacBook or MacBook Air. Name makes perfect sense. To which I say, then why don't we just call them all iPhone successes?
Yeah, and on Twitter... hey guys, don't forget the MacBook Pros are both called MacBook Pro.
Well, and if you pick up your iPhone, I mean, my iPhone 6S Plus says iPhone S on it. That's it. It doesn't have the model name. It doesn't have the revision name on it.
I'm taking the cover off of my iPhone 6S right now, and... Well, there you go. It says iPhone and then has a little S and a square underneath.
I know. There's no difference. And yours is not the plus, correct?
Correct.
So, there you go. This is an iPhone. You know, that's it.
Great. Well, then let's just call them all iPhone successes. Doesn't matter, you know, what size they are, and you specify what size you want, and... Let's call them all iPads, and you can specify if it's going to be the Pro or the Mini. It would have made a lot more sense to me if, Dave, you missed this part. If Apple had called the original iPad Pro the iPad Pro Plus, and this one was going to be the iPad Pro. Now I'm on board with that. That is actually consistent with the rest of the mobile line.
You're asking for consistency out of a company that's confused us endlessly with names, with this aspect of their product names for a long time.
My bad.
No, seriously, right? I mean, it's not something they care about. I think we spend a lot of hot air, and I don't just mean the three of us. I just mean we as the press in general. And part of it is because we have to write about this stuff. And so it's up to us to be very specific about, you know, delineating one from the other, especially when we're writing articles or talking about them here. Apple doesn't make it easy on us, but I don't think they care. They just release their products, and the people that buy them are like, yeah, I want that one. That's the size I want. Can I hold it? Sure. Awesome. Give me my money. That's it. Or give you my money. Here's my money. Take my money. Whatever it is. This is not something Apple obsesses over. They've changed how the S was. Remember the 3GS was capitalized, and then it was this. And I mean, it was the same product. It went through like three different ways of presenting it. It's like, yeah, this is too difficult. We'll do it that way. How's that sound, guys? I don't think Apple cares about this.
They clearly don't.
They build the product and roll it out. That's it.
I mean, yeah. I wonder at this point how many people, if you said, do you use iBooks? And they'd say, yes, mine is white.
Right.
Yeah, that actually switched from being hardware to a service.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. There were yep. lots and lots of years between that, but that's a fair point. The name was definitely recycled. I'm waiting for the iPhone Newton next.
The iPhone Newton? Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, that ain't happening. Yeah. By the way, thanks to the people that wrote in and yelled.
No.
Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to say that's something they won't do. They will not rehash the Newton name. I mean, they're aware of these names. They do intentionally choose the kind of larger scale names, but I don't know, these minor iterations. It's like, yeah, whatever, just roll it out. This is what we have. Go.
Yeah, and even though I wish the naming was clearer, I have survived all these years saying MacBook Pro. And not having anything else to identify what the screen size is, what the screen resolution is, which year it was, what model it is.
Well, I look forward to three sizes of the iPhone 7, and you just request the screen size you want, and everything will be giddy up.
I'm really curious about this phone, though, this SE-sized phone. And I know that's going to come as a surprise to anyone that knows that I currently and have for the last year and a half used a plus-sized iPhone. Part of the reason that I was attracted to the plus-sized iPhone was battery life. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason was the larger screen. I'm very curious to see and to experience this iPhone SE. It would be a very different device than an iPhone, 6S Plus, obviously, because of the screen size. But I'm not convinced it would be the wrong device for me. And I'm curious to check it out. Yeah,
such a weirdo, man.
I know. I surprised myself this morning. Could be just, that I'm this lingering head cold has me a little loopy. Well,
there was another note we got to this effect, Dave. Apple, did you notice how incredibly fast the slide went by for battery life on the SE?
No, but I'll take your word for it. Yeah,
it was. I noticed it at the time. It was like, wow, that was like the fastest slide of all time. D. Scott Frey wrote into Observations, and he said, "Here's an interesting spec. Apple didn't say anything about." That Apple didn't say anything about. Battery life on the SE is better than the 6S Plus in all respects except 3G, where it's the same, according to the comparison page. I'm guessing that's related to the power draw of the screen.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, but the question is, why then isn't the 6 better than why is the 6S Plus better than the 6, right? I mean, I guess there's probably some math equation that we could do about the relative size of the screens versus the amount of battery that you can cram into one case versus the other. And also, hey, the iPhone SE is thicker relatively than the 6S Plus is, right? I think they're about the same thickness, but when you compare the size of the screens, or the size of the remaining dimensions, this becomes a really thick device. So they probably just cram more battery in there. I'm curious to see what iFixit finds when they tear it apart.
So looking at the actual chart that the reader pointed us to, I don't know if it was changed after he wrote or if he misread it, but the SE has talk time of up to 14 hours on 3G. The 6S Plus has 24 hours of talk time, up to 24 hours. Standby time is 10 hours compared to 6 hours. Now, there are a couple of areas where it's better. Internet use is one louder. It's 13 hours versus 12 hours.
Okay.
Over LTE and Wi-Fi. Yep. Same on 3G, 12 hours. And then video playback is actually less. 13 hours of video playback on the SE versus 14 on the 6S Plus. And audio playback on the 6S Plus is 80 hours compared to 50 on the SE. So it doesn't actually, it only beats it in a couple of areas. The rest of it, it's actually a little bit less.
It is a little bit less. Okay.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah.
I hadn't confirmed it before I mentioned it.
Yeah. So maybe, okay. So maybe it's not quite what the slide led us to believe or led me to believe. Yeah.
Well, the slide only, that was the thing that I thought was so interesting. The slide only had the SE data.
Right.
And Apple didn't actually compare it to the 6S or 6S Plus during the event itself. And then everything was just so busy yesterday, and I was packing up for this hearing that starts in a few hours. I didn't have time to go and dig into it. So I'm glad that the listener pointed us to it.
But but it is like internet use on that thing is better than on the 6 and 6S. It's, you know, on par with or slightly better than the 6S Plus, which is what a lot of people are going to use it for.
It's true.
Right. I mean, that so in that sense, it is, you know, it is this. The whole package, battery life being a part of it, has made me very curious about this device.
Yeah, the internet usage is significantly better than the 6 or 6S.
Yeah.
30%, up to 20 and 30%.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I've let us run over because I've been enjoying the conversation. So, Dave, I'm curious to see what you think when you get to play with an iPhone SE in person. And
same.
Yeah, and I'm also curious to see how big your next iPhone actually will be.
I suspect you're going to go, oh, this is so cute and tiny.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I have, for whatever reason, I have an iPhone 5S sitting on my desk that is like in limbo in our family because nobody needs it or wants it, and I probably should sell it, but I haven't. So it's not uncommon for me to like grab it because I need to keep it charged. So every few weeks it's like, oh yeah, I got to plug that thing in again. And I hold it and it's like, hey, you know, there's something to be said for this. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll fit in my skinny jeans.
I wonder if you'd feel that way if you had the normal size one.
I don't know. That's a good. Yeah, exactly. Right. I don't find myself unhappy with the 6S Plus is the thing. It's not like I'm constantly saying, oh, it's too big. I never think that. So it's, I don't know, but you're right. It could be, if I had a 6 sitting on my desk, I might feel differently. Yeah, exactly.
And this, folks, is what it's like to have worked with Dave Hamilton for the last 17 years.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Hey, all right. Well, on that fun note, I'm wrapping us up. Dave, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Brian, thank you for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure too, man.
And Bushel, thank you for being our sponsor. Listeners, head over to their website, Bushel.com. That's BUSHEL.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account. That's 3 devices that you can start managing. $2 a month for every extra device you add in. Totally worth it. It's a great service. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.